Today we're continuing to hear the words of the best-known sermon of Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, which began in our lectionary 2 weeks ago with the unsettling list of those named by Jesus as blessed, and continued last Sunday with Jesus telling those who follow him that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, that we're to bring value to and enhance all that come near to us. And if those two segments of this sermon were not jarring enough, we now come to the biggest moral lesson Jesus preaches. Jesus frames this edict in terms of the history of the people. He reminds them of the scripture they have read, marked, learned, and inwardly digested their entire lives, the law and the prophets. Jesus says, "You have heard that," or "You have always understood and believed that." And he counters those understandings and beliefs with, "But I say to you." In other words, you thought you knew what was right and good, but now I'm going to expand your horizons or blow your mind or really make you angry because I'm calling into question everything you have always known, thought, and believed to be the truth of the law and the prophets, what has always been the absolute line in the sand which cannot be crossed. To quote the words of Jesus, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and 'Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council." It would be enough if Jesus had left it at that, but he does not. Jesus just keeps on going, telling those who will listen how they should live in relationship with each other. And that is what this moral lesson for today is about at its core. It's about how we value people or how we don't value each other. Jesus gives very clear examples of ways in which our intentions or thoughts are as detrimental for our shared life together as our overt actions. If you're angry with a brother or sister, which is not to be understood as limiting to blood kin, then judgment is equal to murder. If you belittle someone or discredit them by naming them a fool, then you're liable to the fires of hell. That sounds extreme, does it not? The next admonition is quite relevant in our shared life and has been quoted in our call to confession, which is unfortunately rarely used in Rite 1. Jesus says, "So when you're offering your gifts at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gifts." Those are the words of Jesus. He says, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, not if you remember that you have something against your brother or sister. That should be of interest and should cause us to pause and think. The words of the call to confession are these: "Ye who do truly and earnestly repent you of your sins and are in love and charity with your neighbors and intend to lead a new life following the commandments of God and walking henceforth in his holy ways, draw near with faith and make your humble confession to Almighty God, devoutly kneeling." Before we approach the altar with our gifts and the gift of ourselves, we are to evaluate our relationships, and if we are not in love and charity, or if we remember that our brother or sister has something against us, we should first reconcile with our neighbor before we come before God. The right way of living in relationship defined by Jesus continues. Come to terms quickly with your accuser in court. If you look at a woman with lust, you have committed adultery. If your body causes you to sin, be rid of the affronting body parts. There are no good grounds for divorce with the exception of unchastity, and one might wonder what unchastity might mean in the 21st century. And if a man marries a divorced woman, in other words, a woman who was unchaste in her previous marriage, then he too is committing adultery. How can we possibly reach these demands? How can we hope to be faithful followers of Jesus with a list like this, it seems that we are doomed to fail. Did he really say we should cut off our hand or tear out our eye? Well, yes, Jesus did say that. But these words affirm that Jesus is trying to make a point about expanding the law beyond the letter to the intent. This, if nothing else, is a lesson in how Scripture should be understood. Jesus is clear that Scripture was not intended to be literal and stagnant, but guiding in intent, leading into deeper understanding. Scripture is not given to stagnate the world, but to enlighten it. Not to give us a list to be checked off, but for our deeper understanding of our interconnectedness and how we should care for each other. Honestly, it would have been much easier if we had just been given a long, detailed, line-by-line checklist of do's and don'ts by God and Jesus. Many of us would be happier scouring over that list day and night, making sure that we, and moreover, everyone else, was hitting all the do's and skipping all the don'ts. But as it stands, the checklist is not spelled out other than demanding care for each other and maintaining respect and valuing relationships with each other and with God. So who is it that we would write off as not worth our care or not worth our respect? Who do we think that we cannot be in love and charity with and still come to the rail? If we are truly honest with ourselves, we all find ways to discredit and devalue others, to in effect call them fool, unworthy of value or care or our time or our attention. Do we take Jesus' words to heart, or do we dismiss them as words for other people and not for us? If we claim that we are inclusive and welcoming, we must give those words our full attention. Life service, not just lip service. We must care and value all people, not just those like us and not just those with whom we agree. We must take the words of Jesus to heart. You have heard, but I tell you, such is the kingdom of God.